London with Simon Godley, Robert Harley, Tyler Mendonca, and Gary Parker.
Look, you call yourself Speedy Fit. I came in this morning to have one tire changed, and you've now had long enough to change a dozen tires, respray the entire car, and attach a couple of aeroplane wings while you're at it. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. We've been very busy today.
Well, the place was empty when I brought it in.
Yeah, I know. We've been rehearsing all day.
Rehearsing?
Rehearsing our dance routine. Oh, no one's quite as speedy as a Speedy Fit boy. Speedy Fit boys are speedy and fit. Hey!
Speedy Fit boys are speedy and fit.
Hey! Yeah, that's right. Your tires are tired, your exhaust is exhausted. So pop on down to Speedy Fit. Oh, no one's quite as speedy as a Speedy Fit boy.
Yeah, okay. I can see you've been busy, but surely actually changing tires takes priority over singing about changing tires.
Well, normally, yes, but we've just got this new choreographer, you see. Now, he's wonderful, but he is working us night and day. Still, he reckons we've got a good chance of winning.
Winning what?
The Chirpy Employees in Boiler Suit Song Contest. We're representing Britain in the European final. And our only serious rivals are a Belgian DIY store called All It Do. And someone, another tire and exhaust company from Finland called Quicken and Fitten. Mind you, they've got big trouble with their scansion.
Right, I'm taking my car elsewhere.
Well, who can you get this better than us?
Well, I thought I might try the Italia Conti Stage School. Who knows, they might just take less than a day to replace a tire, and at least they'll know how to do a grand jeté properly.
A day in the life of George Nixon, Britain's most eagle-eyed customs official. Stansted Airport, 6:30 a.m.
Excuse me, sir. Do you mind if I have a quick word with you?
Not at all.
You're not by any chance trying to smuggle a suit of armour through customs, are you?
No, I don't think so.
All right, go straight through, sir.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Excuse me, sir, do you mind if I have a look in your bag? I have reason to believe you're trying to conceal a Broadway musical.
All right, but I'm sure that I'm within the limit.
We'll soon see about that. Quite right, sir, just the one song. Sorry to trouble you.
Trev, look, Karen will be here any minute. God, I hope I don't muck this one up.
Colin, calm down. You'll be fine.
Oh, God.
No. I tell you what, you can borrow that hat of mine, you know, the one with the hands sticking out each side.
What, the one with the toggle that you pulled
in? Yeah, the hands clap. The women love that.
You don't think
that
looks a bit naff?
No. Goes to show you've got a sense of humour.
All right. You're a bloody good mate.
Bloody good mate. Oh, God. No, quick. Go upstairs and get the hat. I'll try and get off with it. Keep her occupied.
Trev, you're a bloody good mate.
Bloody good mate.
Ah, you must be Karen.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Trev.
Hello. Look, is Colin ready? We're supposed to be there by 8.
Yes, he's just putting his athlete's foot powder on now. Should be down in a minute. You know, I could swear he lives in those socks. Mind you, he's been working very hard lately.
Oh, has he?
Well, it's hard work getting through 15 pints tonight, if you know what I mean. Not they can't keep it down. No. Well, till he gets to bed, that is.
You know Colin really well, don't you?
Bloody good mate. That's great that you've agreed to go out with him. He's been really desperate for it. I mean, to go out with a girl. For a change.
God, I hope he can handle this party.
Yeah, sure, he'll be okay. It's his alter ego you've got to worry about. Prince Zoltan, I think he calls himself. But no, don't get me wrong. He seems quite stable tonight. He's even got his shagging hat on.
Shagging hat?
Hi, Karen. I see Trev's been looking after you. What do you think of the hat?
I think it's great. How about you, me and Prince Zoltan forget the party and just go straight to bed?
I can't believe it, Trev. You're a bloody good mate.
Bloody. Sod it.
And now, the Paris-London Definitive Guide to Alternative Medicine.
Number 1. Psychotherapy.
compare yourself to a psycho, then realize you're not so bad after all.
Number two, Chinese herbal medicine. Take heroin.
Number three, acupuncture. A bit like voodoo, only you get to do it on real people.
Number four, faith healing. Wait for an appointment at an NHS hospital.
Number five, sexual healing. This is, of course, a song by Marvin Gaye and not a real treatment at all.
Number six, sensory deprivation therapy. Go into a dockside bar wearing a cravat, shouting, "Mine's a baby sham," and get your lights punched out.
Watch it, chums. This is your old pan laughing Ted Herbert saying, "How are you?" No. You know, I reckon it's a bit of all right, you and I having a chat like what we are. Don't matter if it's queuing for your offcuts and scraps down the knacker's yard or just sharing a woodbine with the doctor while you're having a poultice change. No. Just as long as it gets you thinking. Pardon? Oh, shut up and give us a laugh. No. Now, talking of thinking, here's a bit of a tease of what I'd like to ask you about, chums. Worst things happen at sea. Now, what's the meaning of that one, eh? Worst things happen at sea. Picture the sea. It's the bank holiday Monday. You decide to take your nearest and dearest, not forgetting the little lady wife mine, down to Margaret for a nice day out by the sea. You've knotted up your handkerchief. Your knitted swimwear's a bit scratchy, mind, but that doesn't bother you. No. And you've whipped the hide off the kids for putting sand on your boiled egg, cheeky little rotter. Finally, you build your family raft out of the old shelter, your mother-in-law's commode and some string and such lot. Then go for a sail. No. Well, chums, on this occasion, I'm all serene and happy-like. Until, that is, I see one of them bleeding, interfering seagulls. Here, would you believe it? It scores a direct hit right inside the thermos. I could hardly drink the last cup. Then I turns to myself and I says, "Ted Herbert, this is a fine outing, you are no mistake. And all because you are to set out to sea." Well, I gets back all grumpy and violent-like. I stop, I looks round, and then it hits me. A rogue doodlebug has gone and wiped out the entire beach. No. Well, that soon puts things in perspective. You see, chums, worse things don't necessarily happen at sea. Mind you, I shan't be using that thermos for a while. No. Oh, well, nice talking to you. Ta-da, chums. Cheerio. Lummy, I don't half talk about some interesting things. No. Cheerio.
And now, the concluding part of our afternoon serial, evoking the mystery and passion of ancient Egypt. The search for the amulet of Ra.
Have you found the amulet, dear?
Oh, yes. It had slipped down the back of the settee.
And now, the first episode of our new afternoon serial. The Puzzle of Bluebeard's Treasure.
How are you getting on, love?
I've got all the corners and most of the sky, but I'm missing a bit of this doubloon here.
And there'll be more new drama from Carlton next week. And now this.
The door's locked. You'll have to pay at the window. Over here.
I want to get into the shop.
The door's locked. It always is during the night. What pump number?
I'm not getting petrol. I just want cigarettes and stuff. Can you pass them through the gap?
Yeah, sure. What do you want?
20 B&H and a box of matches.
There you are.
2 dozen Twix bars. 6 Naff cassettes. A Scotch egg and some Vin.
Properly Vin.
Oh, what have you got?
Plastic football, jump leagues, little China cottages, junior beach cricket set.
Yeah, I'll take a junior beach cricket set, please.
It's a bit difficult to get through.
You'll have to do it a stump at a time.
Oh, and I'd better have a paddling pool as well, please.
I'll have to deflate it first.
Yeah, that's fine. And could I have a barbecue trolley, please?
No, but I can't get back through. Could you come back tomorrow when the door's open?
No, I need it now.
Half past 3 in the morning.
It's an emergency.
Oh, I couldn't give a toss. It'll break the window.
Just do it. I don't care if this is Harrods. Now that you've started selling petrol through the night, you have to play the game. Mr. Martinelli, welcome to WBB&D. As you know, you've had the enormous good fortune to have been selected at random to receive a complete corporate image makeover worth £150,000.
Nice.
Now, from our point of view, it gives us a chance to show other small businesses just how dramatically we can boost their market profile.
Thank you very much.
In your case, we concentrated on the total redesign of the Mr. Whippy van itself. Peter.
Cream, off-white, pastels, out, out, out. Utterly insipid. The new van shell is hammer-finished, rubberized matte black. With the logo picked out in chunky brushed aluminum lettering. Whip Corp. Next to your symbol, an eagle with a cornetto in its talons. It says you're a player in today's competitive business environment. Ruthless, willing to dominate, thirsty for success.
I am a little thirsty, yes. Could I have some water?
Amanda.
Mr. Whippy equals, like, safe, comforting, nice. We want to evoke danger, excitement, sex.
But what about the little children? They are my friends.
A 40-foot bank of videos plays images of beautiful naked couples using ice cream in their foreplay.
Yeah. Nice touch, Amanda. Okay, the music, Peter.
Okay, the old music. To me, that says, I'm here, I'm harmless, I'm Henry VIII. Now, the new Whip Corp theme, coming out of a 2,000-watt PA mounted in the roof turret. No doubt about that. I'm here, I'm defiant, I'm ice cream, and I'm in total control.
I think maybe that frightened the little children.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, here are the plans of the Whip Corp reception area. This booth is where your secretary makes appointments in person or on the mobile. No one but no one sees Mr. Whippy without an appointment.
Thank you, but I'm not sure. I'm happy with old one.
You'll be happier with a new one.
But what about the little children?
Well, they'll have to buy their own vans. Thank you, Mr. Martinelli. Goodbye. Goodbye. Right, well, that was easy. Unfortunately, our next clients have real image trouble. It's another van problem. Amanda?
Yeah, right. First things first. We redesign the Group 4 security logo and reduce the size of the company.
Continuing in our series of musical medics, please welcome orthopedic surgeon Helmut Stunk and his happy hip replacement.
Gary, we've got what? A new sketch.
Okay.
Your parts are marked, right?
Right.
Okay. We present Sherlock Holmes in The Mystery of the Reappearing Lemons.
I say Holmes!
Yes, what is it?
That young East End barrow boy you wanted to see. He's arrived.
Splendid, Watson, splendid.
Shall I show him in, Mr. Holmes?
Yes. When you've recovered, Mrs. Hudson, perhaps you'd like to show him in.
In you go, you little ragamuffin. And mind you, do as Mr. Holmes tells you. Take that cap off when you're indoors.
Now, listen to me, boy. Do you know where those lemons came from?
Cor blimey, Governor. If this ain't a real howdy-do and no mistake. Begging your pardon, sir, but I ain't seen nothing.
Tell me, lad, what's your name?
Stone the crows, me old China. There ain't no one what don't know me. I'm Little Jim.
You're not Dick Van Dyke, then.
Sorry?
Has the police constable arrived yet, Mrs. Hudson?
Oh, yes, Mr. Holmes. Oh, Sergeant Evans, the Welshman, you may enter now.
Here I am, boyo. Well, I must say, I've been looking forward to meeting you, Mr. Holmes. There's lovely.
Yes. Would I be correct in deducing that you have perhaps been seconded to the Metropolitan Force from somewhere in the vicinity of Calcutta?
No.
Oh, bad luck, Holmes. Can't win a ball.
I'm Sergeant Di Llewellyn Evans, and I'm from Pontypridd.
Yes. Well, very well, Sergeant Evans. I'd like you to meet a couple of suspicious characters that I've been questioning about the mysteriously reappearing lemons. May I present Geordie Jackie Middleton?
Is this me as well?
Yes. Come on, Jackie. Don't be shy.
Why, aye, bunny lad. How's it going like? You'll not get me to squeal, Sergeant.
That's better. And, this is one of Jackie's longtime colleagues, Hamish McIntyre from Auchincloss, near Inverness.
Oh, come on, guys.
Sorry, Hamish, we didn't quite catch that.
Oh, no, Sergeant. You must confine that a poor wee soul like me wouldn't have anything today with this awful lemon business. Well, I'm not sure about that, boyo. And you kind of think that a champion sort of blurt like me would have done it?
Yeah, and that goes for me and old Governor. I ain't done nothing.
Well, we'll see about that, boyo. Oh, let me go. Why, aye, let us go, man.
Yeah, I've got to get back to me better.
Holmes, this is getting us nowhere. We'll never find the culprit at this rate.
On the contrary, my dear Watson, they are all the culprit.
All of them?
Yes. Little Jim, Jackie, Hamish, Sergeant Evans. Have you noticed anything odd about them?
I had a little difficulty in understanding what each of them said, but I...
No. It's odder than that. I believe they are, in fact, one and the same man. Only each time he cunningly disguised himself with a brilliantly effective local dialect.
You've done it again, Holmes. But I'd never have noticed that in a million years. There's still one thing I don't understand.
What's that, Watson?
Where did the lemons come from?
A lemon tree, my dear Watson. A lemon tree.
And now, the Paris-London Definitive Guide to Alternative Medicine continued.
Number 87. Drama therapy. Become Prince of Denmark. Talk to a skull. See your dad's ghost, and if you still don't feel any better, stab someone behind the arras.
Number 88, occupational therapy. Invade Poland.
Number 89, shiatsu.
Bless you. Number 90, colonic irrigation. Yes, just as funny as it sounds, I'm afraid. It is quite simply posh people getting their bums washed out, and deservedly so.
Mr. Boothby, the fashion psychologist, will see you now.
Thank you.
Now then, what seems to be the problem?
I just can't believe it. They're back. It's like a nightmare. I thought it was all behind me, dead and gone, but they're back in Gap in next monsoon. Oh, God, oh, God.
Are we perhaps talking about the F word here, Mr. Boothby?
Yes.
Say it, please.
Don't make me.
Face your fear, Mr. Boothby.
All right. Flares.
Good, good. Now tell me, how old are you?
35.
Mm-hmm, I thought so. You are suffering from the advanced stages of fashion recycling anxiety syndrome, or FRAZY. You're old enough to remember the original outbreak of flares, probably with painful associations of cheesecloth, vinyl platform shoes, and Jason King. You see younger people going down that road, and you want to shake them. Shout, wake up! It was a hideous mistake the first time!
Yes! Yes, that's right!
Mm-hmm. And at the root of it all is a feeling that you yourself might purchase a pair of loons in a desperate bid to keep up.
Oh, God, please! Yes, that's true! Look, I'll do anything.
The treatment is drastic, I'm afraid, Mr. Boothby. I'm going to put you in women's clothing for the rest of the decade. Cross-dressing is rather fashionable these days, and who knows, you might make some new friends.
Well, at least my father will understand.
Is he very liberal?
No, he's a judge.
The Fred Collier Moment.
I, Fred Collier, most inquisitive man in Great Britain, am now floating aimlessly on the surface of a stagnant pond. My naked body smeared with pork pie jelly and sprinkled liberally with sultanas. In an attempt to experience what it is like to be common or garden frog spawn. I will now be scooped up by the boys of Class 2C St. Joseph's Infant School. Put in a jar and exhibited in nature class. Let the scooping commence! Most refreshing. This is Fred Collier on his way to nature class awaiting metamorphosis saying, don't criticise it if you haven't tried it. Goodbye for now.
Did you watch the paint drying on BBC Two this week?
The paint drying? Yeah, brilliant, wasn't it?
Brilliant white, yeah. I watched 10 hours of that vinyl silk stuff yesterday. It was fantastic. First couple of hours I thought it was going to end up with a gloss finish, but by 2 in the morning it had that really soft, silky sheen. Amazing.
Yeah, but what about the live grass growing on Channel 4?
Oh, that is wonderful. I've been sitting on the edge of my seat for the last 3 weeks. I haven't been able to get anything done.
Oh, I know what you mean. I was going to set the video for it, but in the end I managed to get a month off work.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the coverage of the House of Lords?
God, that's dull.
Tedious, isn't it? Normally, the Escape Committee will do everything it can to encourage any practical plan, but I'm afraid this is just too risky. I'm sorry, Sawalski, but we're going to have to call it off.
With respect, sir, I don't see how it's any riskier than your tunnel plan.
Listen, Yank. As senior British officer, I'm telling you that building a tunnel out of here is nowhere near as risky as building a bridge.
It's going to be one damn fine bridge, sir.
That's as maybe. Construction is taking too long. Our diversionary group have already clocked up 300 consecutive performances of Swan Lake. What's your latest estimated completion date?
October 1949.
But the costs are getting astronomical. 50,000 tons of pre-stressed concrete, 80,000 tons of high tensile steel cables. Where's it all coming from?
I bribed a goon with a bar of chocolate. But don't worry, I'm planning to put toll booths at the far end. That bridge will have paid for itself within 10 years.
Blimey, sir, we haven't had this much trouble with a plan since Pinky Smith tried to make German uniforms out of toilet paper.
Yes, mind you, that would have worked if it hadn't rained on the big night.
No, I'm telling you, when this crazy war's over, they're going to make a great movie about my escape plan.
Yes, and it'll be called A Bridge Not Far Enough.
Whiny son of a...
All right, all right. You can finish your stupid bridge. But don't come crying to us and expect to use our tunnel system.
You gotta be kidding. And trying to join it up with a northern line is just plain nuts.
Nonsense. With the new high-speed trains we've made out of Red Cross parcels and cocoa tins, we can get from here to Tooting Broadway in just over 9 hours.
That's right. And then it's about the same again to get to Leicester Square, isn't it, sir? If hosts weren't tactful at parties. Figure one.
Hi. Sorry, silly us. We've forgotten to bring a bottle.
Oh, never mind. Silly us. We've forgotten we invited you. Bye.
Figure two.
Oh, hi there. We're friends of John. He said just to turn up.
Oh, really? Well, luckily I can check with him because he's awake at the moment, having his nappy changed.
Figure three.
I'm feeling a little queasy. Can you tell me where the bathroom is?
Sure. It's out the front door. Turn right. Keep going for a mile and a half, and it's next to the tube station entrance.
Figure four.
Great party. I hope we're not outstaying our welcome.
No, no. I often sit up till 5 a.m. with my face on the coffee table.
Hello, dear. Dinner's just on the table. I haven't been near the kitchen all day. That new robo-chef is marvelous. The best birthday present I've ever had.
Well, I saw you eyeing him in the shop window.
Oh, honey, you're so thoughtful.
Hello, Mr. Peabody. Will you both sit down, please? Dinner is ready.
Isn't that darling? Mm.
It's casserole. Eat it while it's hot. Excuse me.
Hmm. This is delicious. It's sort of like pork, but sweeter. Where are the twins?
Upstairs. They've been ever so quiet all afternoon.
This is really tasty. Is there any more, RoboChef?
I'm glad you like it. I remember you telling me this morning you liked surprises.
I'll eat anything so long as I don't have to cook it.
Anything? Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, my God, it's the twins!
What? What is it?
They're upstairs. They're fine. RoboChef didn't cook them after all.
Oh, for God's sake, what is the use of buying a sinister robot if it isn't going to chop up your offspring the minute your back's turned?
And we had to go out and buy all these stupid records.
I'm sorry. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I cooked a dog instead.
Well, it's a start. But tomorrow, RoboChef, no more nonsense. It's twin casserole, police summoned, horrific tragedy, tears for the media, and then we're off to Barbados. If guests weren't tactful at parties, figure one.
I'm afraid I spilt a bit of red wine on your new white carpet.
Not much, I hope.
Oh, about a stomachful.
Figure two.
I hope you're remembering to use the ashtrays.
You bet I am. There's a massive queue for the toilet.
Figure three.
Hi. Oh, hi there. You said it'd be all right to bring the baby.
Yeah, of course it is. That's fine.
Okay. There you go. The film ends at 10:45, so we'll pick him up around 11. Oh, by the way, I think he needs changing. Bye.
Figure four.
I can't even get into our own bathroom. Is one of your friends taking drugs in there?
I don't know, but you better put your head back on, Mr. Giraffe, or the dancing turnips will get us.
Paris, London was written and performed by Simon Dudley, Robert Harley, Carla Mendonca, and Gary Parker. The producer was Caroline Leddy.
Number 127, hypnotherapy. Hypnotize someone you fancy, then shag them.
And you can hear episode 5.